5, 6, and 7. Faces that I don't know.
Amen.
Some I do know. But in my working life, I was in sales. And salesmen are supposed to have good memories for names.
Yeah.
Not this one. So it's terrible. Anyway. I don't know. Some of y'all know. My name is Jerry McGill. Can I ask y'all some questions?
Yeah.
Don't be bothered. I'm not gonna put you on the spot. And I know no sister likes to hear this question, but I'm gonna ask it in an easy way so you can answer or you don't have to answer. How many of you are under 40 years old? Lift your line. Higher, higher, higher. Okay. I'm not going to ask you how many are over 40. I'm smarter than that. I wouldn't get any hands. Anyway, I don't want to take your time to tell you my history, but I came into the church in Dallas in 1972, and the church in Plano and Richardson came out of the church in Dallas
yes.
in 92 and 93, I believe. Am I right?
Yes, 93.
And how did that happen? Because there were saints moving all over, and a good number of saints were living in Plano. Mm-hmm. So when there are saints there, what should they do? They should be the church.
Yeah,
right? Not just in a formal, recognized way, but in a way of life. They should just be the church.
Right.
Does anybody ask you what church you go to?
Yeah.
Well, what do you say?
Church of Richardson.
I like to say, I hope it's the same church you go to. Because we don't go to church. We are the church. Right?
Yes.
So anyway, then in 92, there were saints here, and then the same thing happened in 93. There were a number of saints in the Richardson area. They began to meet as the church in Richardson.
Right.
So we're all from the same source.
Sure.
Not Dallas, but the triune God.
Amen.
But anyway, Dallas was the Well, you may know some of the history. In 1969, a number of small churches migrated to Houston and started meeting there. And in 1971, there was a migration to Dallas. And I touched the church a year later. I won't get into my testimony today. But anyway, I know it's hard to believe that I've been in the church 50-something years. I know. I like to look like I don't. But anyway, I'm that old. I'm a lot older than that. Anyway, my wife and I were married, and I hate to use these dates because a lot of you weren't even thought of yet. Well, you were foreknown, right? But you hadn't been formed yet. My wife and I got married in 1969. So if you do your math, we've been married more than half a century.
Right, yeah.
Hard to believe. Time flies when you're having fun. So we touched the church after we've been married 3 years. And I'll tell you, we walked in our first meeting. I won't tell you how we got there. But it was a long time of looking, searching for what we didn't know. But we were looking for the testimony of Jesus.
Yeah.
We were looking for the church. And the first meeting we walked into, there were about maybe 30 saints meeting in Dallas. They'd only been there a year. And the first message I heard in that meeting, we were singing and having a good time, and the people were in small circles of six or so. And they were singing, and then they'd stand up and testify something, what they enjoyed in the hymn, something about the gospel, something that happened to them that day. Like one brother said this morning, I got up, I got ready to go to the meeting, and I was really happy, and I was feeding my son, and he spilled his bowl of cereal in my lap. And he said, you know what he said? I called on the name of the Lord. And I was sitting, my wife and I were sitting in this little circle, and I thought, you did what? And he said, I called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord saved me and my son. Because
yeah.
I was about to kill him. You know, not really. But anyway, that was a kind of testimonies I heard.
Right.
And if I got into my testimony, you'd realize I was set up for that. Because I did not know Christ experientially.
Amen.
And the saints were sharing about their Christ. And then they said, okay, turn your chairs to the blackboard. We didn't have whiteboards then.
Yeah.
I don't know when whiteboards were invented. I'm so old, there's a lot of things that were invented in my lifetime. But anyway, turn the blackboard. And we ended up turning our chairs and we were on the front row. Like this. Our first meeting.
Yeah.
And a brother gave a message on the ground of the church.
Wow.
And we were flipping through our Bible. The church in Rome, the church in Ephesus, the church in, the church in, the church
right.
in. And we'd look at each other. It actually says it.
Yeah.
The church in.
Yeah.
And then they say, we are the church in Dallas.
Yeah.
And I looked around this puny group, badger skin.
Yeah.
You know, now concrete is fashionable. They stain it.
Right.
Back then, it wasn't fashionable. It was terrible. What are you doing with a concrete floor?
Right.
Well, that's what the floor was. So it was really loud. And they had air conditioners in the windows. And some of them were old and clunky. Made a lot of noise. So when the brothers started sharing, they had to turn some of them off so we could hear him. So it was really badger skin. And I will not say we saw the church in that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But we did love the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would read it, we'd say, really? There's a lot of things in those first few years I saw. And I said, really? It actually says that? He that eats me will live because of me? Okay, let me ask another question. How many of you were raised in the church, or your family came in the church before you did? How many? Okay, good number. How many came into the church when you were college age? Okay. So, some things you heard when you came in the church, you probably said, really? Does it really say that? That we should eat Jesus? Does it really say that? Does it?
Yeah.
Does it say that, sisters?
Yes.
Come on, does it say that?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. So you've seen a lot that you didn't see, right? Well, today, this hymn has a number of words in it that we want to, you know, you've heard the saying, my mind was blown, or that blew my mind. I was with some brothers recently, and they're taking care of a new one, and they said when we first started meeting with him and we were sharing things with him, he was middle-aged, but he had this habit of going like this. And then you say, you're blowing my mind. Okay. I'm going to try to blow your mind. So, this hymn has these words. If our wandering mind would leave old thoughts behind, then your life and peace in it will find. Then another six says, every thought be captured.
Amen.
Every thought?
Amen.
Let me ask you, do you have some thoughts you wish not only were captured, but they didn't come out of your mouth?
Yes.
But then when they came out of their mouth, you thought, oh, that needs to be captured. By the rich enjoyment in your word. That's what will capture your mind.
Amen.
And your thoughts.
Amen.
Till our thoughts are holy, I changed it, Christified.
Mm.
And then the last one says, for this life, it's like, let's keep practicing the application for this life by minding just the Son. Praise Him for the way to live Him today.
Amen.
Lord, on You our minds will ever stay. Okay. That's what I want to do this morning. I want to blow your mind. First, I'm going to say something that in itself may blow your mind. So we're going to have some fellowship today. And the first thing I'm going to say is, listen closely. Man, we have never had an original thought. Just let that into your mind a little bit. You have never had an original thought. Now, some people, if they heard that, would say, oh, you guys are mindless. You've been brainwashed. Well, I hope we will get our brain washed this morning. We need to be brainwashed.
Amen.
By the washing of the water in the Word.
Amen.
Not by some doctrine or somebody forcing you to do anything. But just think about that. Man has never had original thought. You've got this outline in front of you, and we'll get into it in a minute. But we're not going to cover the whole thing, because part of it is your reading. Where is it? It's stuck together. You have this outline.
Yes.
And the first title of it says, of course, Fellowship with the Sisters in Richardson. It says, your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. How about that?
Amen.
Would you like to have that?
Amen.
Your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Boy, we would really be renewed if that was the case.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I have to use the Bible to prove what I'm saying, right? Otherwise, it's just my thought. So, I want to say, it's not that we don't have a mind. We have a mind. Right? We have an emotion, and we have a will. So we can choose God.
Right.
But we can also choose other things. And mainly we choose them by what we see, and hear. That's how we choose. So it a lot depends on what we're hearing and what we see. So we can choose God, but we haven't. This hymn we sang just now, it mentions that we are empty vessels. Amen. And it actually says that we have not one thought towards the Lord to love Him. That's kind of exposing. You might say, oh no, I have thoughts. Well, where do they come from? So the other hymn that I already mentioned, every thought be captured by the rich enjoyment in His Word.
Amen.
Wow. So no doubt we're captured by what we hear and what we see. You know, the Psalm 119, I think it's 130, says, the Word is light and it gives understanding to the simple. Simple. So actually in creation, man was created simple. But something happened to complicate man. And a lot of Christians don't want to talk about the fall. They like to be positive. Power of Positive Thinking. That's a book. I read it when I was in college and I had changed my major from architecture, believe it or not, to psychology. I was a Christian, but I was running from the Lord. And the Lord wouldn't let me go. He's always bothering my conscience. So anyway, I started out in architecture. I don't have time to tell you why I changed. But anyway, I changed, but not for long. I was only in psychology for about a semester. Psychology is okay if you need it. But mainly what they do is deal with the soul, mind, emotion, will, and they adjust things. It's kind of like tuning a carburetor. Yeah. Well, you're too mental, so you need to go to a movie and enjoy God. They don't say God. You need to enjoy something else. You need to have some pleasure. Or you're very light and happy. You're too happy. You need to think a little bit. You know, you need to be sober-minded. So they're adjusting. But man has a spirit.
Right.
But the problem is something happened to cause man to lose his simplicity.
Yeah.
I would even say, you know, James, in James, the book of James, he said, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble. So actually, if you consider, when man was created, he was simple. He just was there, and he loved God, and he was with God. And then God put him in a garden. Okay, so the first thing we want to do is consider what happened. What caused this problem with our mind? You know, sometimes when I have involved with somebody who has had a problem, maybe they've had a fall. Maybe they're involved in something they shouldn't be involved in. And they come and they want a fellowship. And they want to repent. They want to confess and clear it up. I sometimes will tell them, you need to put the blame where it belongs. You did not cause the fall. Who caused the fall? Satan. So he's the source of sin. So you need to put the blame on him, because a lot of people live in condemnation because they made a big mistake. Paul made some big mistakes. Even he, when he described himself, he was saying, I'm this, I'm that. In other words, I'm proud, I'm ambitious, I'm a good Jew, I'm constituted with the Old Testament, I've been raised in Judaism, I'm a good guy, I'm even righteous. And then he said, but the grace of the Lord superabounded. and faith and love in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So he had a turn and he got clear and he didn't dwell on it. He just testified, I was this and now I'm enjoying grace.
Amen.
Because I got humbled.
Right.
So you could say humble is to be simple. Humble is to be pure. You know, to be simple is to not be complicated. You know? Sometimes we're just too complicated. We need to be simple. So we can receive the word and we can receive grace. So another word for simple is humble. And another word is purity. So at creation, man was simple. Man was humble and man was pure. But we need to compare what happened in the Old Testament, and then we'll get into the verses in the New Testament, because there's this word, you may be familiar with this word. It's on your sheet here. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 11:3. This is Paul's word to the Corinthians. You know, the Corinthians were complicated. They were not simple. They were intelligent. They were smart. They were too much in their mind. Right?
Yeah.
They had all kinds of thoughts. So he said in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 11, he said, I wish you would bear with me for a little foolishness. So I'm asking you to bear with me. Because some of the things I'm going to say may sound foolish. But this is Paul. But indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God. For I have betrothed you to one husband to present you a pure virgin to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I fear. I fear.
Mm-hmm.
As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, mm-hmm. your thoughts would be corrupted from the simplicity and purity toward Christ. That was quite a warning. I'm concerned that you're going to be deceived just like Eve was deceived. So we need to consider Eve and what happened. So you know the story. When God created man, he was pure, he was simple, he was humble. He was an empty vessel, ready to receive. God put him in a garden because we still have a free will. And he's not going to force us to do anything. I hope the brothers haven't forced you to do anything, have they? Okay, good. Sometimes brothers are a little strong, right? They want you to do something, right? Anyway,
yeah.
Some of you are laughing. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, sorry, brothers. I'm on your side. But today I'm a female.
Say again?
I'm a female today.
Okay.
Anyway, you know what happened. God put Adam in the garden. And he clearly said, I've got it here. Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge, hold on to that word, of good and evil, of it you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam didn't die right on the spot, but what he took in killed him.
Right.
Killed his seeking, killed his love, killed his purity, infected him. And you'll see the result. So then it says in Genesis 3, now the serpent was more crafty than any other animal of the field that Jehovah had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say? You know what that is? That is a thought. That's a question mark. And it even looks like a serpent. Does Satan ever come to you with questions?
Sure.
Be honest. That's his tactic because he is crafty. So he said, did God really say you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Question mark. That's a thought. Let me ask you, what did God say? He lied to her. That's mainly what he does. But he may say a truth to distract you from what God said. You know, that's what happened when the Lord was tempted. Satan used the word, but God said, it is written. He used the word because he was the word. He was constituted. That's what we need to be. So when the Satan comes to us, we're constituted and we don't put up with it. We turn to another source because there are two sources of thought. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So the point is, we don't have original thoughts. Mm-hmm. So that's relieving. That's releasing. And the other day I got up and I had a word or two with my wife and I started having all kinds of thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know what I did? Finally, I got to my spirit. I turned to the Lord and I called on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And I experienced something I'm not so sure that I've been aware of for all these years. Those thoughts stopped. Amen. They went away. What kind of secret is this? Amen. Calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. Try it. Try it whenever you're having thoughts. Just call. Don't think about it. Even don't repent. Don't say, I'm sorry, Lord. Maybe you need to say sorry later. But you need to get to your spirit.
Amen.
Right? The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Take your mind and set it on the spirit. How do you do that? Not thinking. Calling.
Amen.
Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll be saved momentarily. Instantly saved. Try it. I've been studying by doing it, and I realized it really happens. The thoughts go away.
Amen.
And I get another thought.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, thank you for my wife.
Amen.
Sorry. You would say you never curse God. Well, to some degree you do. Or if through your spouse or your roommate or whatever, you complain about them. What are you doing? You're cursing them. Sorry. Just being frank. So after you call, it will turn you.
Amen.
Thank you for my dear wife.
Amen.
Anyway, we got to go on here. After Satan came to her, the woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, Satan, God said, she was trying her best to overcome him. God said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. That was God's thought. He's like a caring mother or father. You live on a busy street. I don't know if you live on a busy street. Your kids are playing in the front yard. And you tell them, don't run out in the street. Don't eat the wrong tree. If you run out in the street, you're going to die. You're going to get run over. That is our loving God. When he speaks life. So anyway, he, like a loving father, did say that. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Man, that guy is full of thoughts. He does a good job on, you know, his job, deceiving us. Anyway, he said, for God knows that in that day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. Where's the knowing? In your mind. Let's go on. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. So first of all, he messed with her mind. God did not say that. Mm-hmm. He knows. And if he did say it, he's smart. Mm-hmm. He got caught. Mm-hmm. But he did say, if you eat this, you become like him, mm-hmm. knowing good and evil. Mm-hmm. So he's really touching the mind. Because the mind is the leading part of your being.
Yeah.
The spirit needs to be the leading part, but your soul is led by your mind. Mm-hmm. So where are we? He said, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight. Mm-hmm. What's that? That's her emotion. Mm-hmm. It's a delight. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in the meeting, when we got into this, and a sister said, you know, I've always been sympathetic towards Peter. When the Lord said, I'm going to the cross, and he said, it's not going to happen. And he was, that was a good thought. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means the thought was not his.
Yeah.
That's what I want you to get. The thoughts are not yours.
Yeah.
Even good thoughts. That take you away from God's economy. Mm-hmm. He was resisting God's economy when he said that.
Right.
I'm going to go to the cross so I can become the life-giving spirit, so I can get into you, Peter. And Peter said, no, it ain't happening. And the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. So, he touched her mind, he touched her emotion, and then it goes on to say, she saw it was delight, and that the tree was to be desired, mm-hmm. to make oneself wise. Don't you want to be wise?
Mm-hmm.
She's bought in now. She has bought in. You know what that means? I'm ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To follow you. And you'd say, I would never say that. Oh, really? I've said that before. You know, you're reading something, I wouldn't do that. Lord Jesus. And I'm not that powerful. Anyway, then he goes on to say, she took of the fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband with her, and they ate. Okay, that's my introduction. I want to say the eyes of both of them were opened.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that they were naked. Mm-hmm. After they took of his lie, they did know something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Before that, they didn't know.
Right.
They were simple, pure. Then they heard, later on in the garden, they're hiding. But they heard the voice of Jehovah walking about in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah among the trees of the garden. And Jehovah God called the man and said to him, where are you? Mm-hmm. Now you could say, well, he was hiding behind the trees. Mm-hmm. No. He was in Satan's camp. Mm-hmm. He had received a thought and he took it. And now he realized, he still was for God, but he was afraid of God now. Because Satan put a lie in them.
Right.
God doesn't want you to have this knowledge.
Right.
God's holding something back. Mm-hmm. So they'd bought into it. Mm-hmm. So they were afraid of God. Can you believe?
Right.
Yes, you can. And Jehovah God called to the man and said, where are you? Mm-hmm. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. And I was afraid because I'm naked, so I hid myself. Okay. Now here's the connection, but I'm going to stop. And I'm going to go read this portion. Okay. The connection here, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And where are the thoughts coming from? What is the source of my thoughts? They're not my thoughts. You need to realize you really don't have an original thought. That's not easy to take. Most psychologists, and I would say a lot of Christians would say, heresy. How could we choose God if we don't have a thought? So I do want you to consider it. Now, when you read, consider this as you're reading. Because there is an antidote, or there is a direction. There is a way to get out of those thoughts, to be freed from those thoughts, and to come back to God. Okay, here's the connection. It's 2 Corinthians 2:11. That we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Okay? So on the outline here, you've got these verses. We are not ignorant of his schemes. You know, the Greek word for scheme is noema. Noema. And that's the same word as thoughts. Schemes are thoughts.
Yes.
You ever had, well, if you have kids sometimes, they come and they got a scheme. They got a thought and they got a proposition. And Dad, we all do this. Mom, Dad told me it was okay to do this. Really? Sound like a scheme to me. Okay, it's really not funny. It's serious. These schemes are thoughts.
Yes.
So, the next verse, there are six verses that cover this in the New Testament. The next verse is on your seat, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Would y'all read that?
As we overthrow these things and every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ.
The secret there is, if it rises up against the knowledge of God, if it doesn't bring you to the Lord, reject it. Mm. Or take it captive. Mm. Unto the obedience of Christ. Mm. That's when you can say, Satan, I'm not taking that. I'm going to go to the Lord. I'm going to enjoy him. You don't have to say, you don't have to rebuke him. You don't have to do anything. Just turn. Okay, the next verse, I'll have the brothers read.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 3:14.
But their thoughts were hardened, for until the present day, the same veil remains at the reading of the old covenant, it not being unveiled to them, that the veil is being done away with in Christ.
And this was related to the Jews, right? Even Jews that were for God. They were veiled by Satan. Of course, the next verse says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord. I like the next verse. The Lord is the Spirit. When you turn to the Lord, you do exercise your heart. Your heart is your soul plus your conscience. So your conscience is reacting against this negative word, whether you realize it or not, because your conscience was created by God. And that's what protected, to some degree, Adam and Eve. They did not know, but their conscience was still active. Because now they feared God. Well, that was okay. From the standpoint of now, they realize, I made a big mistake. I need to come back to God. That's your conscience. So actually, it's hard to say. Is it your mind taking the lead there, or your conscience? I think it's your conscience. Because your conscience is a part of your spirit. So it's taking the lead to turn your mind. So Paul says they were blinded. But whenever the heart turns to the Lord, boom, the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
It's almost like whenever you turn, the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
In other words, that Lord becomes real to you. He's always been the Spirit. What do you mean, now the Lord is the Spirit? He's the Spirit, right? But he's not the Spirit to you because you're in the wrong realm.
Right.
But when you turn your heart, the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Amen.
And then it says, we all with unveiled face,
yes,
beholding and reflecting.
Right.
Isn't that great?
Right. Amen.
I'm excited about this matter. Okay, the next verse. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this age, this is to the unbelievers, The God of this age has blinded the thoughts of the unbelievers that the illumination of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, might not shine on them. Wow. And then let's all read Philippians 4, 6 and 7. In nothing be anxious,
but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every man's understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.
All those words are the same Greek word, schemes. Satan's thoughts. We need the peace of God.
Amen.
To garrison our hearts.
Amen.
And our thoughts.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's why the title is Your Hearts and Your Thoughts in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Where are your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your thoughts? If they're in the wrong tree, all you have to do is turn.
Amen.
But it's good to know that's not my thought.
Yes.
I did not originate the fall. I am not responsible for what Satan does.
Yes.
I can turn to the Lord.
Amen.
And leave that thought.
Right.
So now we need to consider, if this is the case, and I don't have any real thoughts, how will I get saved from those thoughts? In practice.
Amen.
Let's keep practicing the application.
Amen.
Okay, so it's time to take a break. I took a little bit.